100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA. It's Today in Pittsburgh Labor with J-Doc and Krause. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. This is Today in Pittsburgh Labor with J-Doc and Krause.
And welcome in, everyone, to this edition of Today in Pittsburgh Labor with J-Doc and Krause as we broadcast to you on KDKA 100.1 FM and 1020 AM. Thank you for tuning in and listening to Today in Pittsburgh Labor. We continue to have dialogue and conversation about the Striking Post-Gazette workers and their issue and dispute with Block Communications, which is the parent company. Joe Barbano is...
I think we're at square one. We are no further than we were 6 years ago, to be honest with you. The last meeting was useless. We asked them different questions about their health care and about other issues. They did not have answers. We didn't get any traction or anything that would you know, make us be encouraged to get a resolution to this.
Joe, what do you make of it? You know, there's a simple question. Why? How do you treat workers with incredible tenure and history who built your family's business on their backs? And this is where we are.
Yeah, and what I make out of it, and I'll start from the beginning. My predecessor was the director of the newspaper division for the Teamsters, and he. Obviously, he negotiated for the Post-Gazette, and I worked under him. He traveled throughout the country negotiating different contracts for other newspapers. And he had said on numerous occasions that he's never seen anything like this. The law firm that they hired, King & Ballew, a notorious union-busting law firm out of Tennessee, they came in here with one agenda, and that was to try and bust us. And that is the long and short of this whole thing. And what's head scratching about it is we have workers that have, you know, 30 plus years that work, you know, terrible hours. They work, you know, from midnight to eight. They go out in all kinds of weather. Ice, snow, it didn't matter. We always got that newspaper out. And, you know, they just don't appreciate these workers. And the other part of it is, and going back even further, over the last 20 years, the unions have given back, actually the last 30 years, the unions have given back well over $100 million to keep this paper afloat. And the Teamsters were one of the biggest unions to give back the most money. They never appreciated it. And on our backs, they have built an empire that, you know, they have radio stations, Buckeye Cable. That was all built from this newspaper. And it, you know, it was because of us giving back money to keep the newspaper afloat, and they just don't appreciate it.
You know, Joe, I saw a quote from you that was in one of the articles that was published maybe a month ago. As I was trying to wrap my arms around, you know, this entire scenario or this entire situation, And I think the quote from you was, we should get this thing done by 2050 or something like that, you know,
or
something like that.
Yeah.
Sarcastic reality, though.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I did make that statement. I mean, because, you know, what they do in negotiations, they drag things and they, you know, and I mean, you just get tired of the same. It's really not negotiations. It's we walk in, hand them a proposal, and their standard line is, we like our proposal better. Now, how do you negotiate with somebody like that? They come back and they'll say things like, that's not an economic concession we're willing to make at this time. But, we've made economic, as I told you, over $100 million in economic concessions from the union's standpoint. So, that's what you're dealing with. But yeah, that's tongue in cheek, 2050, but that's how I feel.
Joe Barbano from Teamsters Local 205 joining us here today in Pittsburgh Labor with J-Doc and Krause as we come to you on KDKA. And I hope the listening audience in that tongue in cheek starts to put a reality or a real perception of what's actually happening regarding this strike. A little bit later on in the program, Joe Pass Sr. is going to join us. One of the things I'll ask Joe about is this lack of working to closure, despite the fact, Joe, that there are rulings in favor and mandating that it's supposed to happen. It's crazy.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I couldn't even count how many unfair labor practices, how many board charges. There's just so many things that went in our favor, but they will just come right across the table and say, we don't agree with that. Well, a judge made that ruling. We didn't do it. But you're not going to agree. That would be like, Steelers play a football game and the Steelers win, but the Browns say, no, you didn't win. No, the score's 21-10, but we feel like you didn't win. So that's how our perception of them is.
How are the workers holding up, Joe?
You know what? They're doing good. They're doing okay. They're determined. There's some hardships. Don't get me wrong. There's not a whole lot of money coming in. We can use all the help we can get, but. The workers are, they're plugging along. They're showing up and they're at rallies. They're obviously at the picket lines. They're doing their darndest to show that we're not going to back down.
Talking with Joe Barbano from Teamsters Local 205 here on Today in Pittsburgh Labor. What do you expect, Joe, as the third I don't know if it's an arbitrator, a moderator, or the third individual,
a mediator
yeah. comes into the session. What do you expect, if anything at all, from the other side? Do you think we'll get to a point where you can have a legitimate conversation?
I would certainly hope so. Look, it's been 6 years. March 31st is the anniversary of the expiration of the contract. It's 6 years ago. And we have never had anything optimistic about any of these talks. So if you're asking me, am I optimistic? The answer would probably be no. But you know what? I'm going to keep plugging away. And you know what? I'm trying to find a little ray of light at the end. You know what? I'll do anything I can to make it work,
Joe.
And I'm trying,
Joe. I think you're going to have to make the trip with all the members down to Harrisburg and get on the floor of that labor-friendly institution and the people that are in charge there, and find a way to get all this support that's out there into closure. I don't know how to do it, but man, if I can snap my fingers, I'd love to see that happen. I don't know how to do it, man, but I appreciate you jumping on. I appreciate the commitment from you and from all of the workers who are hanging in, as you said, coming up on the 6-year anniversary of the end of that last contract.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for letting us get our point of view and our word out. And thanks for all you do.
That's great stuff. Joe Barbano from Teamsters Local 205. This is Today in Pittsburgh Labor with J-Doc and Krause. We'll take a short commercial break. Back in a moment.
We are going on strike because of unfair labor practices, where the company literally canceled the health care.
Being a mom on strike and being a single mom on strike to two young kids, it's very nerve-wracking, a little bit stressful. I'm doing my best to look at it as everything will work out and I gotta just trust the situation, but it's very nerve-wracking.
I'm a mailer in the mailroom, been an employee here for 28 years. I'm a third-generation employee. Between my grandpa, my dad, and me, we have close to, if not more than, 100 years of loyal employment with this company. You can call the Post-Gazette and tell them you do not want to have a paper delivered. You do not want a paper delivered until this labor dispute is finalized and settled.
And welcome back, everyone, to this edition of Today in Pittsburgh Labor with J-Doc and Krause. Again, special thanks to Chris Lang, who joined us in our previous segment. Great stuff from Chris. We will continue to try and educate the public and change the narrative on what's happening with the striking Post-Gazette workers. Going back to, as we mentioned in our show last week, back to October, and as Chris mentioned, the conversations long before the strike. Joining me now on Today in Pittsburgh Labor, certainly a gentleman who is no stranger to contract negotiations. He has a long history of representing labor unions. Joe Pass Sr. From Jubilee Pass in Entrerie joins us. Joe, welcome into Today in Pittsburgh Labor, my friend. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I want to read, Joe, this short, looks like it's about a 7 or 8 sentence paragraph, and then I'll get you to react to it. On January 26th, the National Labor Relations Board administrative law judge ordered the company to get back to the bargaining table with the guild, saying the company didn't negotiate in good faith, illegally imposed working conditions, and unlawfully surveilled workers engaged in union activities. The judge also ordered the company to rescind the unilateral working conditions, restore the union's previous contract, and make its employees whole for any loss of earnings and other benefits that resulted from its unlawful unilateral changes. That sounds pretty direct, pretty straightforward, but that hasn't happened.
No, it hasn't. They will take an appeal, which they do to everything. They never want to listen to anybody. They know everything better than anyone, and they continue to fight and appeal. They've done the same thing. For example, we had an arbitration decision where they had illegally implemented provisions, and sure enough, the arbitrator ruled in our favor. They appealed that to the U.S. District Court in the Western District. They lost. They took it to the U.S. Court of Appeals. They lost. They finally had to pay at the end of that rope. There's hundreds of thousands of dollars they owe to these people. So it's not unusual. They will never agree or abide by anything unless they fight it to the bloody end. And the strange and the worst part about all this is the amount of money they're spending on their lawyers in litigation. They could have settled every single contract 10 times over.
Joe, excuse the ignorance of this question. You know, why? What's the point?
The point, if anything, is to try and break the unions. That's it. You know, people don't realize we understood when the Post-Gazette bought the press, they were a great employer, and it was run by Bill Block, who was the uncle of the two twins that are now in charge, Judge J.R. and Alan Block. He was absolute the salt of the earth. He was never a problem. He was always very good. He knew everybody who worked there. He was just a wonderful human being. In 2006, they start going into financial problems, and Bill had been was just leaving the head of the organization. But I can always remember when we went to the bargaining table, and I represented every union that worked there, they asked for concessions. Every single union said, we got to give them help because Bill has been so good to us. Mr. Block has been so good to us. And we gave concessions, hundreds of millions of dollars in concessions over the years. In fact, these folks haven't had an increase in wages for now, let's see, last one was 06. So where are we?
16 plus years, right?
Yeah, right. And, you know, if they would have come to this negotiations like they had before, and since 06, hey, look, we need help. We were willing to do it. But they came to these negotiations wanting to strip every right these employees had, every right, from how many hours they'd work a week, no guarantees of work week, take away your health care, pay much, much more for worse health care, and every other, do away with a lot of the vacation time, do away with sick leave. With the guild, people would lose, they were allowed to store sick days for when they really get sick, because we've had that happen. People get cancer or other diseases, they're away for a long time. The guild people could store 80 or 90 days. They stripped that away, took it away. I mean, these are things they had earned over the years. So everything that any of these employees in all of these units earned, they wanted to take them away. And why, I have absolutely no idea other than break the unions. That's the only answer.
And as you go through this process, Joe, and it sounds like it's a one-sided conversation, and you're engaged, if that makes sense, that word makes sense, but if you're involved in a conversation with, I'm assuming, the attorneys that are representing the company, what's that like? Is it a one-sided conversation?
It's not negotiations. They brought this law firm from down south, from Tennessee. They came in. And when they came in, you know, they have a reputation of being just the union busters. They really have no desire, none whatsoever, to make a deal. Give you just an example. When they make proposals, you know, over the years, I've done this for over 55 years now. When people make proposals, they take a contract, and they'll either strike out the language that they want eliminated, and you can show it, they'll show it, and then they'll put in bold the language they want to insert. They don't do that. They just give you a contract, and you've got to go through it word by word to look what they are trying to do. And they'll take out sections, for example, that are very significant. But if they don't show it being taken out, so you've got to take time, hours and hours, to go through that. Every single proposal they make, you tell them, hey, why don't you do that? The answer was, you're big boys and girls. We don't have to. We're not going to do your work for you. That's the kind of negotiations we've been going through. It is absolutely ridiculous. They are predictable, very predictable. They don't do anything. It reminds me of someone that is afraid to do anything because they don't know what else to do. So they just say no to everything. Pretty easy. You get a trained monkey come in and say no.
Yeah, and I just, as I sit, and we're talking with Joe Pass Sr. From Jubilee Pass in Treary, who's joining us, and again, just a tremendous long history and great tenure of representing labor unions, has been involved in so many negotiations. We can never probably list them all in the course of certainly in the course of this 1 hour show here on Today in Pittsburgh Labor. Joe, but it's mind boggling to me that it's almost a robotic approach where no matter what happens, no matter who delivers a ruling in your favor or in the favor of the unions, they're going to stonewall it. Nothing's going to get done. And there's no ramifications for that.
Absolutely. Yep. We try. The ramifications come at the end. You know what's strange about this? Two things that you'd like to point out. About 15 or 16, actually it was right around 2006, we had settled the contracts here in Pittsburgh. they had this same law firm up in Toledo. They have a paper in Toledo. And they were up there for 3 years, gotten absolutely nowhere in 3 years. And in fact, they had caused the unfair labor practice strike where they had to actually pay these people. This is the same law firm they have today. I got a call from then the president of the PG at that time and asked if I would go up, me and another fellow, Joe Molinaro, one of the Teamsters, and see if we can help get a settlement for them up in Toledo. Mind you, they had been working on this for 3 years. We went up there. In 3 days, they had to leave. The only reason we said we'd go up, get rid of King Blue, that's their lawyers. I don't care who else you bring in, but if you want a deal, because I know they won't make a deal on anything. So what we did, we went up there. In 3 days, we had a contract. In 3 days. So that tells us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, this same group of people, the same law firm that they have here today, same guys, they announced they were giving out raises of 8% to the guild and 9% to the other unions. What they didn't tell is they were stealing 10% of the wages of the guild. And then from after they took the 10%, they then added 3% to the lower number 1 year, 2% to the next year, and 3% to the third year, which didn't equate to the 10% that they already took. And on top of that, we were paying 8% of our wages up to a maximum of $4,000 to get our health insurance. And they took that money and took that health care away. Both put the money in their pocket, took the health care away, and says, we're going to give you our health care. We wound up, if you had a family, remember, we were paying $4,000 for family coverage, and it was 100% coverage.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us the guild a 90-10 program, not a 100% program, with deductibles much higher than what we had. And the premium cost was now close to $8,500. So we lost $4,500 in premiums. And they took the money away. They took 10% of the wages. And they said, we gave them a raise. Now, raises like that will go to drive you into bankruptcy pretty quick. But that's how they blatantly lied by saying we gave a raise. They never gave anybody a raise. It was the same thing with the production units, the Teamsters, the pressmen, the mailers, the typos. They said, we'll give you a 9% raise. After we take your 8% that you're currently paying for health care, we'll put that in our pocket. We'll take away your health care. You take this new health care where you're paying twice as much as what you did before. But the bottom line, when we went to trial with the guild in front of the National Labor Relations Board, the ALJ looked at him. This is not a raise. This is a wage cut. No kidding. But there, I heard it was in their paper. They make an announcement. We gave these folks a wage increase. They never gave anybody a wage increase. They gave them the wage cuts, their proposals.
Smoke and mirrors, my friend. Smoke and mirrors. Unbelievable. Boy, I've been in this business a long, long time, Joe Pass Sr., and I don't often find myself speechless without a follow-up question. But when I listen and I hear and I hear you lay that out, and I really do hope the listening audience consumes our conversation today, man. It'll stop you in your tracks. Joe, I appreciate you joining
us. Give me one more thing I want to
point
out.
Go ahead, man.
Just give me one more thing. One more thing. We were supposed to have this is what kind of people you're dealing with. The Federal Mediation Conciliation Service is designed by the federal government to help people settle these contracts. We've had a federal mediator involved in this. The federal mediator says he's going to bring in another federal mediator because we're not getting anywhere. He says maybe this other mediator was involved in the newspaper industry. So they were going to bring this new mediator in to help see if we can jumpstart some negotiations. The company just this past week, we're not showing up. You can't tell us who we're going to have a mediator. We don't need a mediator. We don't want this new fella. And they're not coming to the meeting. They told us they weren't. The federal government sent out a notice saying we're going to meet on a certain day. They said we're not coming because you're bringing in a mediator we don't like. How about that?
And they're allowed to do that.
Well,
they're doing it.
They're doing it.
But
it. Right. And we will be taking appropriate action. But it'll be, the problem is the system doesn't, the system for the working man doesn't work as rapidly as it needs to.
Yeah.
You know, these things drag on, just like the Guild case. We filed that charge in 2020. In 2023, we got a decision, and now we're still going to be waiting because he'll be appealing it. Our labor laws need revised to take care of these folks.
Joe Pass Sr., Jubiler Pass in Treary, joining us here on Today in Pittsburgh Labor with J. Doc and Krause. Man, I wish I had a full hour to talk with you, Joe, but I appreciate you coming on board, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to at least help out to let the public know what this is all about.
No doubt about that. Today in Pittsburgh Labor with J. Doc and Krause. Back in a moment.
Pittsburgh is a union town, so when the owners of the Post-Gazette hire out-of-town lawyers to try to break our unions, we don't back down. Workers at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette are on strike, and we need your support. We're the ones who design, print, and distribute the paper, sell ads, handle accounts, and create Pulitzer Prize-winning journalism. We help our neighbors stay informed day in and day out, but we haven't had a raise in over 15 years. And the owners of the paper, Block Communications, illegally cut our health care. We deserve better. We deserve respect. Please keep our strike strong and show the millionaire Block family we're not alone. If you subscribe to the paper, cancel your subscription. If you read stories online, don't visit the site until the strike is resolved. Support our strike. Drop the Post-Gazette. Visit ppgstrike.org.
Paid for by the Communications Workers of America.
And welcome back, everyone, to Today in Pittsburgh Labor with J. Doc and Krause as we broadcast to you on KDKA 100.FM and 1020 AM. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening into the program today. Still to come, Joe Pass Sr. Will join us, and we'll wrap up this edition of Today in Pittsburgh Labor with Joe. Joining me now, Chris Lang, to talk about this Post-Gazette worker strike, which, as we mentioned last week and then again earlier in the show, this now goes back to October. Chris, let me welcome you into the show, my friend. Thank you very much for coming on Today in Pittsburgh Labor. I think instead of me saying it, let me ask you first if you will just identify the title that you have, because it's long and I don't want to leave anyone out.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on, Joe. My title is president of the Graphic Communications Conference, International Brotherhood of Teamsters, Local 24M9N. We represent about 16 shops in two states now. In addition to that, I am a business representative for District Council 9 out of Philadelphia.
Good stuff. I'm glad I had you do that, Chris. Let's get into it and get your perspective, you know, on this strike. We've had so many different voices weigh in on this on Today in Pittsburgh Labor, and then following last week's show, there was a lot of conversation after the fact. You've been, Chris, at the table, which at times it appears, from what I can see, you're sitting at the table talking to yourself, because the other side, representing Block Communications, is not engaged in the dialogue. Is that a fair assessment?
To a point, yes, it is a fair assessment. Initially, over 6 years ago when we got into negotiations, there was some receptiveness in our exchanges for proposals. In fact, we do have several articles which have been tentatively agreed to. That being said, the main issues, which are hardcore for every labor union, you know, seniority, guaranteed hours, benefits, and the like, they have made absolutely no movement whatsoever.
And what do you make of that, Chris? I mean, you know, a negotiation is a give and take. So the thought would be that when you come to a bargaining table, or you come to a negotiation table, or you're ordered to be there, you would think that that dialogue would lead to some give and take.
And that's the frustrating part. The company has said that they want to go completely digital. So we've asked the company, okay, if you want to go completely digital, we'll negotiate to that end. Them going digital, well, of course, we'll get rid of most of the production workers, you know, the pressmen, the mailers, the truck drivers, you know, the other Teamsters organization. And we're not opposed to that. We understand with declining participation in reading newspapers, especially with all the digital media out there. And so we've said, you know, hey, well, let us know when you want to go digital. We'll negotiate to that end. And, you know, the company won't tell us. It's very frustrating. We've got international reps in there. We're on our second mediator. From what I understand, we're going to bring in another mediator from Boston, and hoping that he'll have some positive influence on the company. But it's just been frustrating for 6 years. And the people, you know, a lot of these guys have 30, 40 years, and they don't know what to do with their lives.
Yeah, I was going to ask you I was going to follow that up by when you referenced, of course, the statement of moving completely to digital and negotiating to that point, along that long journey or along that road are many members who have an incredible amount of tenure with the Post, right?
Correct. Absolutely, yes. I mean, there's it goes back to grandfathers, fathers, and now their sons. And so, yeah, there's a long history for many of the people that work there.
Chris Lang is joining us here on Today in Pittsburgh Labor with J-Doc and Krause as we continue conversation and dialogue about the striking Post-Gazette workers. Chris, your perspective on negotiating to the end, just for the benefit of the listening audience, many perhaps who are not familiar with bargaining or not familiar with contract negotiations. In this specific case, you're negotiating to what would be that full transition into digital, assuming that's the way the ownership group decides to go.
Well, that would be our intent, Joe. The last meeting we had before we went on strike, the company actually gave the advertising people, those are the people that put ads, that solicit ads for print and digital media. They actually put a proposal in there for commercial printing. Now, if you want to go completely digital, why would you make a proposal to add commercial printing? You know, it just doesn't make sense. On one hand, they're saying they want to go digital, yet on the other hand, they give a proposal for printing work. So we're just, you know, confused. We don't know what they want to do. And that's the frustrating part.
Chris Lang joining us here on Today in Pittsburgh Labor. One last thought, Chris, and then I'll let you go. You mentioned, I think you said a third mediator now coming into, or you're expecting a third mediator to come into the process from Boston. How does that work? What does that mean? Do you start from the beginning again and then end up down the same road of no return? How does it work?
Yeah. Honestly, Joe, unfortunately, I think that will be the case. What we do is, when the mediator comes in, he'll have some idea of what has transpired over the past 6 years, and he'll go to both the company and to the labor unions, and he'll find out what the main issues are, and then he will try to, he can only recommend. That's all he can do. He cannot change anything. All he can do is make suggestions on how to resolve the problems. Unfortunately, at this point, many of us that have sat in negotiations believe that this is more than negotiations. It's become more of a vendetta, it seems, by the company for some reason. So, none of us are really sure that we are going to come to a positive result, especially after what happened, you know, a few weeks ago. So, I wish I could give you a better answer. You know, the mediators, they are third party, and that's how they act. You know, they listen to both sides and try to come up with a reasonable resolution. And that has not worked in the past with the past two mediators. It has not worked with our international officers coming in to help. All we can do is keep our fingers crossed and hope that something transpires out of him coming in.
Chris Lang joining us here today on Today in Pittsburgh Labor with J. Doc and Krause. Chris, keep up the fight. Appreciate you taking some time out of the day to come on and see this through. Thanks for joining us, my friend, on Today in Pittsburgh Labor.
Thank you, Joe. You have a wonderful day. And I would just ask that the people in the city of Pittsburgh and others listening support our cause. We have a digital union paper out there that's accessible, Pittsburgh Union Progress paper, and we need your support. So thank you very much for having me on.
Great stuff. Well said. That's Chris Lang. We'll get to a break. This is Today in Pittsburgh Labor with J. Doc and Krause. Back in a moment.
Hey, is that?
Yep, the Post-Gazette workers' picket line. They're on strike.
Oh, yep, I know. I already canceled my subscription to support the workers, and I am not reading the Post-Gazette website either.
Right, me too, and I canceled my business's advertising.
You know, I'd go on strike too if my company cut my health care.
Or... Right, and no raises for 15 years? Crazy.
Yeah, seriously.
Those guys who own the paper are worth millions.
I heard that they hired some out-of-town law firm to negotiate with the workers.
Yeah, I heard they're trying to break the unions.
Doesn't sound like they understand Pittsburgh at all.
Exactly. Pittsburgh is a union town.
Yeah, this place was built on unions.
Yeah, it's about showing respect and doing what's right.
Please keep our strike strong and show the millionaire Block family we're not alone. Drop the Post-Gazette. Visit ppgstrike.org to join us.
Paid for by the Communications Workers of America.
And welcome back, everyone, to this edition of Today in Pittsburgh Labor with J. Doc and Krause as we broadcast to you on KDKA. We thank everybody for tuning in. Congresswoman Summer Lee is going to join us, and we bring Congresswoman Summer Lee into the conversation. How are you, Congresswoman? Thank you very much for coming on.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, and I'm doing quite well here down in the Capitol, about to go into vote, actually.
I've got to ask you to, and you've been so active and involved in this Post-Gazette issue with Block Communications. I've got to ask you just for a general thought, your general opinion on this process. You know, the more I learn and the more I talk and the more I interview people about it, it almost really crosses the line of being unfair in terms of how the negotiation process has taken place, and certainly unfair to all of the workers.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, I mean, just being with the workers and just seeing how long, you know, how long this has been, what they're just actually asking for, it seems like such a discouraging process, right? Here we have workers who truly are on the front lines of our democracy, right? They're reporting the news, making sure that people have good information to make decisions throughout their days, especially when I think about the political reporters. These are folks who are asking for health care, right? These are folks who are asking, you know, just for fairness on their job, and they're being, you know, completely blocked out, right? You don't understand it. Being completely blocked out by this, and even, you know, facing, you know, aggression. So it's been a discouraging process, but it's that much more important that we stay in it, right, with these workers and that we support them throughout this, because what they're fighting for is that important.
You know, one of the values of being able to deliver this messaging and this narrative to the large audience that resides here on KDKA is to try and continue to educate the public about what's happening in the boardroom, what's happening in terms of that dialogue that's happening when they are speaking with an arbitrator or a mediator to try and get closure. But every place, it seems, Congresswoman, that every place they turn, there's another roadblock, and the roadblock is actually coming from Block Communications. They're not in good faith negotiating, and I just don't know if there's anything that can be done other than to continue on the process. What are your thoughts about that?
Certainly. You know, first of all, we have to strengthen our labor laws, right? We have, you know, a country where employers are given a lot of latitude to mistreat their workers, right? Given a lot of latitude any way to keep their workers from kind of common sense benefits, you know, whether it be healthcare in this position or paid sick and family leave, as we've seen with the rail workers. So what we need to do, particularly at the federal level, we just need to make it easier for workers to collectively bargain, make it easier for workers to appeal decisions, you know, when there is a wrong by their employer. And that's something that, you know, we could have done. It's something that we can do with the PRO Act. But it's what we're still working on so that it's easier for these workers to post that in the future.
Congresswoman Summer Lee joining us on Today in Pittsburgh Labor with JDoc and Krause. Congresswoman, do you think, and I know you served in the PA House of Representatives from 2019 through 2022, do you think there's any benefit at all to the workers from the Post-Gazette, and as many people willing to support them as possible, to take a trip down the turnpike and have a conversation on the floor down in Harrisburg?
So I'll tell you what, they came down, a lot of the workers came down to D.C., you know, to protest outside of C-SPAN, to talk to folks down here. I always think that it's a good idea for folks to be in the faces of our legislators, right? I think that especially with a Democratic majority in the House, this is a great time for them to go down and meet our legislators. Let folks across the Commonwealth know what our PG workers are fighting for, because this isn't just about the PG, right? This is about workers' rights in general. And I think this is a good example. So, yeah, I think they should. And I would love to introduce them to some of my colleagues, my old colleagues.
Well, perhaps that's the next step that we try and move along just to try and get this done. And I'll give you, I'll get one last thought from you, Congresswoman, about that, because this is in many ways, and you know this, this is about the workers for the Post-Gazette, the workers that have had incredible tenure and longevity that have built this company. And then it's also about workers in general, not and their rights. I'll give you last word on that thought.
Yep, that's so true. Every time we see workers go on strike, it's always about two things, right? It's about the immediate situation that those particular workers are dealing with, and then it's about the larger labor movement in America. How do we ensure that we are protecting all workers, right? So that the next generation of workers are not dealing with the same conditions that these ones are, right? So this is a part of a bigger fight. So it's not just the PG. It's our Starbucks workers, right? It's our library workers. It's Amazon. All of these workers are rising up in this movement right now that's so needed, because our union numbers are lower than they've been. So, you know, it's important that our workers be in solidarity, right? That our owners, our bosses see that people will stand with our workers in hopes of keeping them, right, from mistreating their workers in whatever industry they may be in.
Congresswoman Summer Lee, thank you for taking time out of your busy, busy schedule to jump on Today in Pittsburgh Labor with J-Doc and Krause. That's going to do it for this edition of Today in Pittsburgh Labor. We thank everybody for tuning in to KDKA 100.1 FM and 1020 AM. On behalf of all of the striking Post-Gazette workers, I'm Joe Krause. See you next time, everybody.